Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And I hear the first officer call out. And the first officer jumps on the radio and he screams, "Holy shit, it's the goat man." And I mean, it just like everything went quiet. And I could hear the ringing in my ears and I could feel my heart race. And so I hit my lights and I went flying up there.
I'd been told by some older people, elders, that you grab them and you hold them and you don't own them, but you hold them there until daylight. If you can hold them or pull them into the light, it destroys anything they have, any kind of power or anything that, or anything they were trying to do to you, it'll destroy them.
This guy was like bouncing, like, you know, like how you see people kind of getting ready to jig, you know how they kind of bounce? Yeah, he was like that way. He was just kind of bouncing, and he was just kind of going back and forth from one foot to the other. And he just kind of turned sideways, and he turned back over to the other way, and he took off. Holy shit, he jumped in Wanda.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Lodge Tales, and I'm your host, Rod Williamson. This episode, we have a returning guest, Angelo Bullplume, and his wife, Leanne. They join us tonight and tell stories for us. They talk about this haunted doll, dancing sticks, this black hat, some haunted toys, a hat man, this ghost woman, and a death spirit on 7 Mile Lane. You know, there's a lot of stories and a lot of spooky things that take place all across the world, but particularly on Indian reservations, there's a lot of things that go on. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's because maybe we're more spiritually inclined or something. I really don't know why that is. But to me, that really sticks out. I mean, I've been reaching out to a lot of different people and on TikTok, you know, that there's a lot of people out there that are interested in the paranormal and ghost stories and stuff like that. And it's just us natives, we have so many, you know, and indigenous people in general, we have a lot of experiences and things that go on with us individually and our families, different areas of the reservations. There's so many things that happen, and I mean, it's really interesting to learn about all these and talk about them with different people. And, you know, it can get pretty intense at times. So if you're feeling really spooky, just, you know, take a break from the podcast or, you know, smudge off, stuff like that. Make sure you're protecting yourself. I want to, again, just put into everybody, like, thanks that, you know, you listen to this podcast, you share it. Always excited to see new people join the Patreon to listen to the episodes there and the members only ones. I'm having another returning guest, Arlen Potts, and when he comes on, his is going to be members only episodes. So we'll have some more with him and we'll get our quota filled. And I'd just like to thank everybody for sharing this podcast, showing an interest in it. But like I said, you can go over to TikTok and find me on there. You can interact with me. I've been doing little tiny ghost story sessions here and there. So I'd like to do a little more eventually. But yeah, that's one place I've been at for a little while here now. trying to build more, a bigger audience. And with this next story that Angelo tells, I mean, this next set of stories that he tells, he talks about this place. I'm telling you guys, man, like 7 Mile Lane, there's something up with that place. There's a lot that goes on there. And that's kind of like around the end of the podcast, he tells those stories. Why is my dog always sighing in the middle of these recordings? No idea why, but he always does that. So, yeah, the 7 Mile Lane place is, it's an enigma for sure. There's something going on there. A lot of history there, you know, a lot of spirits around there. And they all tend to be kind of bad, you know. There's not really, there's a few good stories from that place, like actual good things, but a lot of it's just like, a lot of bad things have happened there. But if any of y'all out there and you know your family or yourself and you've heard some stories about 7 Mile Lane, you know, contact me at lodgetales@gmail.com. You know, just send me a quick little, hey man, I got some stories, and then, you know, we can start interacting and give you my phone number, whatever. You can chat with me a little bit about it. But the website's still up and going. There's a few things I need to update on it yet, but it's up and running. It's lodgetales.com. So if anybody wants to check that out, go ahead and go there. Well, without any more messing around, let's just get right into his stories then. And again, Angelo Bullplume and his wife Leanne.
Anyway, I wanted to tell you about this doll. You know, in the 60s, we lived on Moxon Flat down here.
Mm-hmm.
See, just a couple blocks from where I'm at now. For as long as I can remember, my mom had this doll for as long as I can remember, and it was an old doll. It was just like it had a like arms from the elbow,
mm-hmm.
and then the inside was like wire or wood or something.
Mm.
It had a porcelain head, like the body was stuffed, sewn around it, and it was stuffed, but the inside, the skeleton was like a wood or wire or something.
Hmm.
Anyways, when there's an old Victorian porcelain doll thing.
Yeah.
That she had, and I think it was, I don't remember the story right, if it was given to her by one of her uncles, or one of her mom's brothers, because his baby passed away, and they didn't want it to go to waste, so, oh no, my grandpa bought it and gave it to my mom. That's not weird. Bought it from his brother-in-law. And my grandpa's brother-in-laws were the running fishers. My grandma's maiden name is Running Fisher. Her name was Dolores. She married John Caffield, my mother's parents.
Oh.
So John bought this doll from one of his brother-in-laws, or it was given to him or traded something for my mom. And for as long as I remember, she's had it, you know?
Yeah.
When I was small, when I was a little guy. And I didn't like that thing. It seemed like every time they took it out and I heard them talking about it, and I watch his eyes will fall, you know, the older folks. And I was sitting there and I was listening to him. When I first seen that doll, and I seen it, it was just a little bit shorter than I was. I remember looking at it almost eye to eye.
Those are big dolls.
Yeah, and then they're saying that. Now watch his eyes. You know, one of my brothers or sisters were walking, and I said, "Oh yeah, look, his eyes follow you."
Oh.
Well, it was doing that. I seen his eyes. It was like it was looking at him, and then it stopped and looked back at me, and then looked back at my brother and my sister. And that's what really freaked me out. You know, and I was going, "Oh, his eyes!" I tried to tell my mom that he was looking at me, and she said, "Yeah, it looks at everybody." And she was telling us the story that, how she had it for all these years, and it came with a dress, a real nice old Victorian dress or something. Anyway, she made a buckskin outfit for it, moccasins and everything, you know. That's how she had it. And I see. And she was, I think it was Christmas, she was planning on giving it to one of my sisters. And they took it out to, you know, to fix it up. You know, they were running chalk on that buckskin, you know, cleaning it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that doll. One morning I got up. It was daylight. Kind of overcast out sky, sunny here and there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going outside and my mom called me. And I was running, our porch was a big old porch, you know, it was a pretty good size, not just a little porch, it was like a deck.
Come in.
And I remember running from that deck to that door, and that door slammed shut, and you know, that. And I remember seeing that doll standing there, actually shut that door. Mm-hmm. I wasn't afraid. So when I opened the door, you know, my whole family was in there. I thought it was one of my brothers or sisters, but that doll was standing by that door. And every time when I would go in the house, if I'm alone, you know, then I'd look around and I'd see if that doll was around in the house somewhere.
Yeah.
I walked in. I heard my mom call me, and I ran into that. When you walk in, there's our living room, and then right off to the right, there's a bedroom, a door to a bed, two bedrooms there, and then a little hallway and a bathroom. And then off to the right, I mean, straight ahead, there's a kitchen. Then off to the right, there's another bedroom. So anyhow, I was running. There's a little tiny, I'd say about 4 feet of hallway from that bedroom into the kitchen, and it goes straight ahead. And there's chairs there. It was a chair, easy chair, and a couch, another easy chair, and a TV between those two bedroom doors on the right. Anyway, when I walked in there, then I heard by some, like you know how when you hear kids running, you can actually hear like they're like almost a padding on a floor, you know, when they're running.
Yeah.
But this thing was like almost like a glass or something. Like that. Something like that.
Hmm.
You know, dug behind me and I stopped and I spun around. When I spun around, I'd seen that little buckskin piece of buckskin go around the corner, and I screamed for my mom. She came running in there. She didn't believe me, or I don't know if she did or not, but she said, that's nothing. He said, doll, it's not lying. You know, my dad just laughed at me. When he was laughing, I thought my dad was raising hell with me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom even told me, "Do you scare him? Don't be scaring him." And he said, "I'm not scaring him. I'm just laughing because it's scared of that doll." But that doll was always do things like I would, like when we'd be eating.
Yeah.
You know how families off sometimes would go sit in the living room. My dad, he had a TV. They called him TV Dan. You might ask around about that. People, older guys, you might know. I guess he was one of the first ones to own a TV in Oxen Flat.
Hey.
They call him TV Dad. Yeah, I remember we're all sitting there in the living room and watching TV. And so he kept taking my food, and I was looking around, and I thought it was some dogs. No dogs around. Uh-huh. My brothers were all sitting close to the TV, and I was only one sitting there by my dad's feet. And then I seen this little tiny thing like that come out right by my leg, and it was a hand, but it wasn't a hand. It was like all fused together, like a doll hand. Yeah. Fused together and went down like that, and that doll was laying underneath my dad's chair with its hand sticking out. And it was taking my food. I told my mom, I said, "Hey, Mom, that doll, my sister June, her name was June, that's who my mom gave that doll to." She said, "Dan, you better feed your doll. It's taking my baby's food," you know, teasing around like that. And I said, "Mom, you took my food." And Mom said, "You just don't like it. Don't throw it away. Give it to one of your brothers." See,
yeah.
Just little things like that, you know, would always happen. And it was one night, I kept telling my mom and dad I was scared of that doll, and I didn't like that doll. And one night I told my my brother I needed to use the bathroom. I kept waking him up. He wouldn't get up for nothing. So I ran up outside, and he threw that switch. And my dad ran an extension cord down there for a light for the outhouse. Mm-hmm. In the 60s, you know, we all had outhouses.
We all had outhouses. And then on Halloween, it'd get turned over upside down. Oh. That's what it would do.
But anyway, I ran down that toilet. It was late. I know it was late, and it was kind of snowing out, too. Uh-huh. And I ran down that toilet when I used the bathroom, and when I ran back home, and that door was locked. I was pounding on the door, and that doll was standing there on that chair by that window. There was an easy chair by the kitchen door, and the other easy chair is between the couch, and then there was a couch and another easy chair by the window there by the door, and that's what that doll was standing on, looking out the window. Well, when I went to use the bathroom, there was no doll there. There was nothing in there. Hmm. And I was out. I don't know how long I was out there, but next thing you know, my dad was bringing me inside. They were warming me up. I got sick that time, really bad. I ended up in a hospital. I think I had pneumonia that time. And they were touch and go for pneumonia back then. You know, they were trying to get my folks for neglect and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
My dad said he was outside and he went to use the bath. I was gonna go crawling behind the house. We had chickens. I was gonna go crawling there and sleep with them, but I don't know why I never. But I told my dad, I said, that doll locked me out. My dad, he's telling my mom that when he found me outside,
mm-hmm.
that I think he went up to use the bathroom, because he used to get up like, I don't know, 4 or 5 in the morning. He'd hitchhike to Tiber Dam to work, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, when he got up, he said he found me outside, and there was my foot tracks out there, and there was little smaller tracks, and they weren't tracks. They were just like an outline of a shoe, but that's how that doll's foot looked, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was telling my mom, I think their doll locked my baby out of the house last night. And then since that time, that doll disappeared. I never knew what happened to it until, in the 80s again when that house burnt down?
82.
Yeah, in 82, our house burned down way out in the country. And that's where that doll burnt up in our house.
Hmm.
No, nobody believed me, you know. I think the only one that would believe me was my dad and my brother David or Beaver. One of them boys said that doll was biting him or something or scratching him. And then I got the blame for that, too.
Jeez.
But that doll always gave me the creeps, you know. And every time I see some kind of dolls, some porcelain dolls, I just feel like, not afraid, but, you know, I just wonder if there's anything in those dolls, you know, that can possess them and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a few stories out there with that happening, you know. I had a friend that they used to get chased by one in their house.
Oh.
Yeah, they'd get up to use the bathroom in the middle of the night, and that thing would chase them right down the hallway back to their room. It was a black Raggedy Ann doll, but it was handmade.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe I seen that thing move, that doll, when I was a kid. It was just I would say it was about a little bit shorter than the size of a guitar. You know how tall a guitar stands?
Yeah.
It's about that tall, yeah. And its legs, I remember they were like porcelain. Then from the porcelain part, it was sewn to, I can't remember if it was wood or wire inside there for the body, but around it was stuffed and sewn in, you know?
Yeah.
Sewn like a body.
I always thought it was weird how that happens. Like how, you know, just inanimate objects like that can become possessed or It's almost like they have their own life or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, my cousin, he was a dancer, powwow dancer, and he had, you know, those dancing sticks that they just kind of twirl around, but, you know, there's something on the end of them and they twirl them?
Yeah,
he had some of those with his outfit, and he went to my dad's house in Browning, right behind a Junction Drive in there, and he went to his house to change, him and his buddy. He says, I said, it sounded like somebody was fighting outside that house. He said, I got up and I looked out that window, then I opened that door. He says, there was your cousin and one of his friends. They were wrestling on the ground. So they just had big smiles, but they were wrestling right there. He says, so we just come over to ask if we could change here at your house. We're dancing down there at the powwow. And he says, yeah, go ahead. So they change and everything. They go down and they dance, and they were coming back, and they got their outfits off and put away, and they were going to head out, and said their goodbyes, they left. Well, my dad and his girlfriend, they started hearing some sounds in that room where they changed that. They was hearing sounds. Like, what is that? It sounded like a mouse. And they look all over and no mice. And then they seen a bag. There was like a pillowcase. And in it was those dancing sticks. He says, this guy forgot his sticks here. So we'll have to tell him. But in the meanwhile, they kept hearing that sound, looking for those mice, and there was no mice. So one day they were sitting back there, and I don't know what they were doing. There was a bed and everything back there, but they must have just been visiting, sitting on that bed or something. But they heard that sound again, and geez, they looked in. Well, they were looking at that bag, and here that bag was just kind of moving. Like it was moving, like it was twitching, and they looked in there real quick. There was no mice, just those sticks, and those sticks were kind of moved in a different spot. So my dad got a hold of him, and he says, hey, you better come and get your sticks. I think they miss you. They want to be with you. They're back here moving around, and he started laughing. Okay, I'll come and get them. And he went and grabbed them, and they didn't hear that sound anymore in there. But see, even things like that, I wonder how that happens.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it was just had a lot of power with them or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, this dog we used to have. His name was Skipper, our dog. That dog would never go in a house. I mean, other dogs would go in a house, you know, but that one dog would just never go in a house, sit on a porch. And that dog was following my dad. Said that dog was curled up by me. I think he was barking, my dad said, that Skipper.
Mm-hmm.
Why my dad had gotten up that day, that morning.
So you must have been out there almost all night.
Oh. Well, I remember going out there. I remember my folks were still talking. Their light was on in the room. I told them I'd use the bathroom. He told me to tell my brother to come with me, and they never, so I just went myself.
Was it cold out? Was it winter already? You said
it was cold. It was cold. It was snowing on the ground.
Oh.
It wasn't sticking on the ground, but I remember going to the bathroom and it was snowing because I turned that light on. My dad had run a switch from the house to the outhouse and just throw that switch and the light comes on in the outhouse. But you can see, you know, from the light shining under, you see the snow falling down like rain or sleet or something.
Yeah.
And when I ran back home, it was still the same. But when my dad came out, he said there was snow on the ground. You see them dogs' tracks, my tracks. You can see even dog tracks outside there, or little tiny shoe tracks. And he said he didn't care for that doll after that.
Yeah. So at that point, go ahead, sorry.
He told my sister to do something with it, either get rid of it or put it away in her room or lock it up. She locked it up in her room in a suitcase. And I always remember my sister's suitcase. You know, she had it for years, and she had all her stuff stored out at my mom's place. That's where she died, my sister, out there at that old place. And anyway, not long after that happened, that house burnt. I think she died that summer, and then that winter, that house burnt.
Oh.
And I remember it was a way up in the attic. We kept there. We had three teepees in there, a bunch of tents, you know, canvas tent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope we found this stuff. Oh, geez, my dad had a bunch of hides up there he had painted on.
Hmm.
But that one doll, boy, I was never so glad in all my life to see something gone, you know.
Yeah.
But then I look at me, if I Google something and Google them old Victorian dolls, I bet you I can find the one out that was made.
Jeez. But it stayed there locked up in that attic ever since it locked you at that house, huh?
Yeah. When we moved from Oxen Fly, you know, and then that house that burnt up, that was way south of Heart Butte in Blacktail.
Oh, okay.
Where we moved after we moved from Browning, we moved to Blacktail out there. That's where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always in the attic upstairs. And I remember when we first moved out there, we just had a trailer and us boys were staying in tents, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have any teepees then. Or maybe it was just my dad's teepee. But anyhow, we were waiting for that house. They brought it up from Fisher Flats. It was one of them old ones the Spotted Eagles had one out in Heart Butte up there, that big white one.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there was another one down here. My auntie, Annie Dorr, she had one that burnt up on Moxon Flat. I don't know if you remember that one on a corner.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's the block north of the swimming pool. And there was three of them. One was given to my auntie, my dad, and I think it was Jess Spotted Eagle, I think, and Midget. They got one. I think theirs is still standing out there, I think. Anyway, those three buildings come from Fisher Flat.
Oh.
And we're waiting for the house to be moved. And they moved it. The whole thing was a two-story house. They moved it all the way from Fisher Flat all the way to Blacktail. Down on the other side, just out of Cutbank.
Mm-hmm.
South of that airport down there, where they moved it from. Well, anyhow, my cousin Clifford Calftail, he was there at our house that time. We're all upstairs, you know, moving stuff in, and he was helping us getting everything unpacking the house and stuff, and moving beds upstairs and stuff like that. And I remember seeing that suitcase going up in the attic from went downstairs, upstairs, and upstairs in the attic. Well, my cousin Clifford, he said, "Oh, you probably got some big mice problem up there." My mom said, "Why is that?" And he said, "Oh, I was bringing up your suitcases up there, and there's it sounded like mice hitting your inside your suitcase, you know, running around in there like that." But there was no mice in that suitcase, you know, not even no droppings or nothing. I think it was that doll that my mom had given to my sister.
Yeah.
But that thing, that scared me for years and years, you know, until the house burned. Like I said, I was never so glad to see something gone in all my life. It was probably worth money, too, you know.
Yeah.
How old that thing was.
Jeez. I don't see how people collect those too, because people collect haunted dolls and haunted objects and whatever. They pay a lot of money for them too.
Holy great.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want anything like that around my grandkids.
Oh, me neither.
My kids are grown, you know. I just got grandkids, so. They've never experienced anything supernatural like that. You know, when that happened with my buddy, you know, Jason, mm-hmm. years ago, my kids were, they were just small then. So my older daughter, Olivia, she was like about 7 or 8 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I don't know, that's, to me, it's like what I think, you know, it could be, I don't know if not I don't want to contradict myself or say something that's wrong, because, you know, I read the Bible a lot, and it says that once a person dies, you know, we go on to the judgment seat of Christ or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. We either go one or two places, and that's it. You know, we can't come back here to this earthly plane.
Yeah.
What I think they're spirits that were not born of this world, you know, like humans. Mm-hmm. Like we have our body and our spirit, our soul. I don't think they're, I think they're demonic, is what I believe they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like entities. I don't think a person can die and come back, you know, like that guy that had passed away in the Bible. I think his name was Lazarus. He told Father Abraham, or he was a rich man. Lazarus and a poor man, wasn't there in the end? I forget how it goes, but anyway, the rich man, he died and he went to hell, and he was telling Father Abraham, telling that poor guy that he had passed away too. He said, have him dip his finger in the water and place it on my tongue. And he said, no, I can't let him do that. There's a gulf between us. You can't cross it. And he told him, he said, well, can you have him go back to the earth and go back to earth and tell my brothers and sisters, you know, about this place after this, so they don't come here. And Father Abraham said, well, I can't do that either. They have the prophets and the ministers there, you know, the preachers, the ministers, prophets to tell them. And that's why I believe that, you know, we can't, you know, die and come back, you know, even to haunt one another. I just believe they're demonic spirits, is what I think. Unclean spirits, if you would.
Yeah.
That possess these things, you know, like that.
Yeah, it's really interesting, you know, to think about all that, because there's, in the Blackfeet way, your ancestors can visit you in your dreams, and
yeah,
you know, or sometimes, you know, like that old story that I remember reading, an old ghost story book from somebody wrote from back home, but that guy's wife passed away. They stayed out at where is it, by, you know, the Badger Head Gates, that where it crosses that irrigation ditch, there's a little bridge over it that crosses that road going from Old Agency to Heart Butte.
Yeah.
Yeah, reading there somewhere is they had a house there, but that guy's wife passed on, and the only one that was there was his wife, the widow, and their son-in-law and their daughter, and I think a grandkid or two were left in that house, and they would hear this bell. It sounded like a bell coming from way out there somewhere. They would get closer and closer, and they'd blow their lanterns out. You know, this was a long time ago. They blew their lanterns out because they were scared. You know, back then they used to make it dark when they were scared. They wouldn't turn on all the lights or anything. They'd make it dark and they'd kind of hide, you know. And so that's what would happen. And that bell would get closer. And finally it would come in through the corner of that house. And it was her husband. But it scared the widow and the daughter and those grandkids. It really scared them.
Yeah.
And it would wait there. It would try to talk. That guy would try to talk, but they'd be too scared. And the only one that wasn't scared was that son-in-law. So he started talking to it, to that, who they think was their husband and dad and grandpa, you know. And so finally, it would come, and that guy would just start talking to him. And I can't remember what they would talk about, but he ended up telling him. He said, "Yeah, I'm not going over there yet." He says, "I'm gonna wait here. I'm waiting here. I'm just waiting." And so finally, after some time, his wife passed, and that's when he stopped showing up. He quit coming there. He waited for his wife and went with her. You know, there's many other stories too. Here's one I'll tell you. It's kind of always makes me really think. So, in my wife's family, one of her great aunts passed away, and she was really religious with the Bible, a Catholic way, I think. And she kind of, you know, shied away from the whole Blackfeet ways and stuff like that. Well, that's how she lived her life, and that was what she chose. And Anyways, when she passed on, she came back in a dream to her brother, my wife's grandpa. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, stick to your ways that you know. Stick to the Blackfeet way. Mm-hmm. She said, because it's different over here when you believe like I do. It's a different place. So just believe what you believe and stick with that. So, yeah, you know,
I was going to tell you, I didn't mean to cut you off, but my mom too. No, when my older brother passed away, I never knew him. I'm the youngest, and he was like the second to the oldest. And he passed away. He was like 4 years old, I think. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how he passed, but he got sick and passed away. It might have been pneumonia or something like that, or some kind of fever. Anyway, when he passed away, and then what my mom and him would do when you leave him food out at night. Hmm. And you know, that's why I say I don't want to contradict myself by saying something where I'm right. I'm not right. I'm not wrong. You know.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to. You bring any kind of confusion to anyone either in their beliefs or how they believe. I'm not trying to discourage them or anything like that, you know, but
yeah.
my mom and dad, they were telling us the story that at night when they would go to bed, they'd hear a thud on top of the house every night after my brother had passed, after he buried him and all, everything was done with. They would leave food out for him, and you would hear a thud on top of their house just at night like that. And then they'd feel something like getting off of their bed. And then they would hear that fork and something eating in that food, you know. Mm-hmm. I guess they did that for quite a while. And somebody told him, they said, well, you should let your boy go, you know. It's not good that you keep him here, keep feeding him. Yeah. You should just let him go on to a better place. He's not here. He's sick here, because that's how he died. He died sick. And every time he comes, he's going to be sick, and he comes. You don't want him sick and suffering like that in the afterlife. And my folks said, well, no. So they quit feeding him. They quit laying food out, and they just, you know, pray and light smudge every night and pray for him, you know.
Really?
The old Blackfeet way. Uh-huh. And she said, after a while, it quit. After, you know, she didn't miss him anymore, you know, and that thing would come down and land on the house. Yeah, and it'd get off of the bed, and then my mom said, when they quit feeding it, things would get swung around in there. Not really bad, you know, it's like get messed up in there a little bit. And after a while, he said, just quit, everything just stopped. And then when my dad passed away, my mom, she lived in Hart Butte then. She didn't live out in the country, but they gave her a house in Hart Butte. She would never live with any of us, my brothers or my sisters. And when I was asking her why, you know, she said, well, my old man's going to come after me, and if I'm gone, you know, he won't know where to find me. I gotta be here, and that's where she died, was in that house. And there are, you know, a lot of similarities, I would think, with Christianity and our Blackfeet beliefs, you know, our traditional ways, our ancestors' ways. I was in Great Falls, and we were down there. I don't know if I mentioned to you, but we used to minister a long time ago, my wife and I.
Please.
And I was in Great Falls, and we ministered there. Oh, no. We were going to church there, and this one fellow came up to me. He was a preacher from, I think, what's that place out of Great Falls, man? Going towards Billings, no?
Oh, you mean Fort.
Between Eddie's Corner and Stock something, I forget what it's called. Anyway, that's where that minister's from. Anyway, he come up to me and he told me, he said, "Hey, you and your people, they're all going to hell. You and your people, you're all going to hell." I said, how can you say that? He said, he's telling me that he was a preacher. And I told him, well, if you're a preacher, I said, you know, doesn't it say in the Bible that we're not to judge one another? That God's the only one that can judge someone and send them to heaven or hell? And he said, then he looked at me and he said, you're a preacher, aren't you? And I told him, I said, you know, the book of Job, he told me, well, you guys are going, your people's going to hell because you worship the sun and you worship animals and all this and that. And I said, well, doesn't the book of Job say, ask the beast of the field and it will show you whose hand is in all of this. Ask the fowl of the air, the birds and animals. I said, that's what we do. We don't pray to them. We learn from them. They're our teachers. We ask them for help. We don't pray to them. Pray to Creator. I told him, Natusi, son, my dad, his dad was a medicine man. He never prayed to the sun. He prayed to Creator. He said, Creator made that sun, Natusi. Creator made Natusi to help us live, to give us life. He said, how do you call it? It's the Batabia. Mm-hmm. The giver of life, I think.
Source of life.
Yeah. And there are a lot of similarities, you know, with Christianity and the Bible. That, in my opinion, you know, where it is for the good. You know, that, like that, where he was trying to condemn us for the animals and the way we live. And I told him that, well, the Bible says, in the book of Job, I think it is, ask the beast of the field and it'll show you. Ask the fowl of the air and they'll tell you. I think it says even ask the air or the sun or something and it'll tell you whose hand is in all of this. Speaking about Creator, you know. That's just where I feel, you know. I'm not saying that I'm correct in all my beliefs, in which I'm not, you know, I'm just along for the ride here in this world too, you know. Yeah. But I believe in our old ways. I got cedar hanging on my wall. I got my conch in there, my conch bowl, my sweet grass, and, you know, what we use. Mm-hmm. And my wife, she was raised Holy Roller Christian. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you call it. Or non-denomination, Holy Roller, I think, whatever. But still yet, you know, in all of this, you know, We see things like the paranormal. Yeah. When I was a kid, I seen a lot of stuff. And as when I grew older, you know, I said something that just shook me to my core, you know, even in my beliefs. Like that thing with Jason. Oh man, that was just thinking about it now. It just starting to get shaky all over again. I don't want to be afraid. I want to be able to, you know, share my experiences and be able to, you know, let people know, you know, that Creator's out there. He's there, willing to help us. Mm-hmm. Well, whether which way we believe in the church, the white man's religion, our own ways, you know, Creator's Creator. There's only one God, I believe.
Yeah.
Creator, and he told us, Creator, in our Blackfeet ways, you know, he showed us how to live, just like he showed the white people how to live in their Christian ways.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think. Oh. I think everybody just has their own way, and that way's got power for them, right? Like, you know, it goes against whatever way for them to different outside the Blackfeet tribe. You know, it goes against their ways for certain things. Just like in our tribe, it goes against our ways if, you know, certain things do. Mm-hmm. Like, one big one is, you know, like alcohol. You know, that that goes against our ways. But in the church, it's right in the church. There's wine right in the church, and that doesn't go against their way. It's not bad for them. But in our way, it is. So I think those restrictions are just put on people depending on what you follow, you know. It's they're not for everybody. All those restrictions ain't for everybody, but they're there. And I think if you're following that way, then you have to abide by those rules for whatever reason, you know.
But there's one thing you can't deny is that is the spirit playing, you know, and how it affects us. Whether it manifests itself to us like plainly, like we see each other, or if it's like kept itself in a place of what would you call it, of like a bad spirit in the darkness, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This one time when I was a kid, we lived in this house right up here, just a block over from where I'm at now. And it's just by the old housing over there, by the cemetery, that old Willow Creek Cemetery, and the old housing over there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right there, that second house, we used to live in that house. And it was Christmas time. You know, we all got toys, and I remember we got this little tiny plastic bowling set. They still sell them out in the stores today.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the hallway, there's a linen closet. And there's two bedrooms on the south side and three bedrooms on the north side. And there's two bathrooms in there. But anyway, it was Christmas and we're all bowling, me and my brothers. They got tired of it and I was the only one bowling. And that bowling ball that went in that... We closed the door so that bowling ball wouldn't go in them rooms. Anyway, that room was open and that ball went in there and I went there to look for it and I couldn't find it anywhere. And when I was coming out, I went to get one of my brothers to help me come and look for that ball. And they come down that hallway with me, walking down the hallway, and they come bouncing out of that room. So we ran in there to see who was in there. Thought we'd catch one of my sisters in there, you know, raising hell with us. Nobody in there. And I told my brother, I said, there's nobody in there. I was looking for that ball. There's nobody in there. He says, come on. Some girls racing out with us. We went in there and looked all over. Nobody in there. And then when we come out of that bedroom, the other bedroom door was open and that ball was in there. It was just sitting there. And my brother went to pick it up and it rolled away from him and it took off. I didn't see it roll away from him, but he took off out of there and I chased him down the hallway. And so... We took me and my brother, we took those, it was kind of a Christmas tree, we threw them away. We threw our bowling set away. that night, my one of my relatives had passed away, but he always wore a black hat. And that night, and I was laying in my room, and I seen this black hat coming floating right through the window pane. The window was closed. It went right through that glass. I can't even see the band in the back of that tag inside of that hat.
Oh.
And then I screamed. When I screamed, I jumped up. And when I turned around by that door, all I see was this white thing floating towards me. And what it was my brother. He was in his shorts and his T-shirt. He jumped off of the bed. He was screaming. He jumped out of the bed flying towards me at that door. And I thought it was a ghost. Yeah, ran into my mom's room and he came in there and she went in there and she said she felt something in that room. Like, she had a switch, a Willis switch, I remember that. She'd always have it switching around for ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never thought of that since this time now. I bought them Willis switch. I'm going to have to give me one, a couple. But you can't whip a kid with it. Once you're using them on a spirit, though, they say.
Yeah.
Oh, that was scary. I couldn't sleep all that night. Then that next day, my dad, I forget where he was working, but he would come home on the weekends. And I remember him coming home, and we were up all night, me and my mom. I couldn't sleep after that. And he come home and he said, I remember in Blackfeet, he's telling my mom that when the relatives had passed away. And I was asking my mom, who is that? And she said, your cousin always wears that black hat. And then I remembered and I told her that what I was seeing in that room that night before, the black hat. Hmm. Well, this one's got a story about her dad that. Who was it? Yeah, that guy come to your old mom's house.
Oh yeah, it was late. So what? 12 o'clock at night. Oh no, it was about 10 because we were kind of still all goofing around, laughing around, you know. Was laying in bed laughing around.
So my dad had a tail.
Yeah, my dad said, hey, your kids need to quit being goofy. It's getting dark, and you know, it's not good to do that. Remember, I don't know, long time ago when we were young, you know, when it got dark, you know, we weren't able to look out the windows and all different kinds of stuff, you know. My mom would tell us, don't look out the windows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You guys need to stay in after dark because, you know, it's not good. You'll see things or things will happen. Well, it was, my dad and mom was kind of sipping that night. They used to drink when we were young, and they were just in their room, mom and dad. Their room that we used to, I grew up in a flat home.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a flat home on Moxon Flat. You know that trailer that burnt, I don't know if you know, in Browning, what's their names? That one councilman that got laid off, remember, because of his kids? I forget that guy's name. I'll ask Angela when he comes out. And they told, we lived there. That's where used to be our lot. But my sister sold that lot. Angela, what was that guy, that lot that my parents, there, Linda owned it, but she sold it, that lot over there where we walked in flat. Who was those people that owned that trailer?
Hall.
Oh, yeah, he was a Hall, but before that, or after that, they bought that place, and they moved their trailer, and it burnt.
Well, he used to be... Two trailers burnt there.
Yeah.
That Hall?
Yeah.
His name, but there's a Hall. Edwin's little brother. Edwin Hall's brother.
Do you know...
He passed away, too. His name.
Kind of not good with names. Sterling Hall, yeah.
It was Sterling Hall. He stayed there before that. After that or before that, but that was your guys' lot.
Yeah, and that's where I grew up at. Well, anyway, it was late, and somebody knocked at the door. And my, you know, after dark, only ones that could answer the door was the older people, you know. So we all said, shh, be quiet, let's see what's going on. And we thought my dad and I were going to have a party because they were drinking.
Hmm.
And this man stood there, and my dad said he was just dressed up really nice. He had his suit on, and it was a long jacket. And that guy was standing. He said, hello, Arthur. And then my dad said, how do you know who I am? I don't even know who you are. And he said, I know Olive, too. She's in that room on that bed. And my dad was just looking at me. He said, what do you want? And he said, Arthur, he said that... that bottle you're drinking right now, he said, your wife has it. He said, I'm in that bottle, Arthur. Oh, my dad he just looked at that man, and that man just walked away. Well, he began to walk away, and my dad, he looked in the house, and then he looked outside. When he looked outside, that man had a big long tail just swinging, and my dad, he said, by the time when he looked down and he got down there, and that thing, that person or whatever, that being or whatever it was already there on Mormon Hill. And from where we used to stay, you could still see it. And my dad still seen that person. He was a really tall man. And he told my dad, he said, I'm in that bottle, Arthur. Oh, my dad just ran in that room. He said, Olive, he said, give me that bottle. My mom said, what did that man want? He said, Olive, it's bad. It's really bad what he told me. And then all of us kids jumped, and we all ran, and we were all sitting on the bed by Daddy and Mom. And My dad was telling us, and he told my mom, he said, give me that wine, Olive. He said, you pour it out right now. He said, you open that window and you pour the alcohol out. He said, that's it. No more. We're done. He said, we're going to go cold. We're going to have to go cold turkey, Olive. He said, because that man that was standing at that door, he told me he was in that bottle. He told, and he said, Olive, he had a tail. And back then, I don't know if your parents remember, they used to see this thing all over, this man with the tail.
Yeah.
They seen him in that, right there where, over that, that pawn shop where we used to be.
Mm-hmm.
That old, what is it, Radio Shack?
Yeah.
There used to be a big hotel, Haggerty's Hotel. Well, that's where that thing would always go, go there, because there was a bar there. And there would always be a bunch of really wild people, people that used to like that. Well, when people get drunk, they start fighting. See, my sister used to work there. And one time my sister was, she was the night maiden, night person. She used to check people in. There'd be upstairs and we'd run all over in those rooms because it was a big hotel. Back then I'd be looking out the window. It was just like a hill we were on. But it wasn't no hill. There used to be a side door. And that one night, there was a man standing there. And when my sister, she wouldn't open the door because she said she just felt fear. And she just said, what do you want? And he said, open this door. She said, we're closed. We got no rooms. And then when he turned around, that whatever that thing was jumped off of that little porch. And you can just see his tail moving all over. Oh, my sister just ran down to that room and she just started praying. And she got scared, She locked those doors. She wouldn't let nobody in for the night. And after that, my sister just told that manager, I'm done. I'm not working here no more. You're going to have, if I'm going to work here, you're going to have more people with me. She said, because somebody came here last night and they had this person had a big long tail, and he wanted me to let him in that hotel,
Yeah.
He wanted to get a room. He was asking for a room. And then when she was standing, I guess something hit that window. Something hit that big tall window, and she was just looking at that man, and that's when she told him, I don't have no vacancies. And he turned around when he jumped off that porch. She said, you could just see that tail out of his big, long trench jacket. So that same thing that my sister seen, my parents seen, he came to our home.
Jeez.
And that was really, we all got really scared. And my dad, that Sunday, he just went to church, to that log church, and he asked for prayer because he would get nightmares that night over that person,
Yeah, he's still been around. There's a story I heard it would be recently compared to those old tales like that, but same thing, went into a house, dressed the same way, big tall guy.
Yeah.
Got through locked doors. They didn't know how he was just opening those doors when they were locked. And this was out at Heart Butte. Go out there and, have a beer with people, then head out.
Ooh.
Yeah, that thing's still around, whatever it is. And the cops even seen him. He was trying to, on a snow shed there, my friend was a cop, and it was jumping off that bridge trying to get people to wreck. They called him in, so he went and, sure enough, he responded and he seen him, and he just stepped off that bridge like he jumped onto the railroad tracks. And my friend thought he had a suicide person, case or whatever. So he drove down there, and that thing was standing there looking at him, like with his leg up like the Marble Man, he said, and he was smoking a cigarette. And he had his flashlight out and his headlights, toward it, and he started walking. He says, hey, you all right? And that guy just smiled at him, but the edges of his smile went all the way up by his eyes.
Oh.
He just walked around that pillar. Well, he says he slithered around that pillar. And he went down there shining that light around looking for him. There's no way he could have ran anywhere, but he was gone.
Or disappeared, huh?
Yeah. There's another story of it chasing a guy on the railroad tracks and cutting him up, cutting his back up, chasing him.
Ooh.
Yeah, that thing's still around, whatever it is. I've heard it called he who should not be named. I just call it a hat man because I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah. Well, everybody said it was a devil walking around, in Browning. They would spot him all over. That was in the 60s. Because I was just young. I was like 8, 9 years old. I remember a lot of stuff that happened, you know?
Yeah.
And then at another time, somebody came knocking at my dad and them's door. It was in the, snow. It was snow out there, light snow. And this person come in and he said, "Arthur, can I warm up? I'm cold." My dad said, "Sure." And he said, "Hey, how do you know my name?" And his man said, "I know everything about you and your family and your wife, Olive. I mean, Arthur." He said, "And Olive, I know your wife, Olive. Come in." And
I should be picking you.
Huh?
I'm going to pick you to your ground.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Excuse me. Can you give Ruben one of those things?
Yes.
Okay. And then when he start warming up, my dad, asked him if he'd like coffee or tea, and he said, "Arthur," he said, "do you have anything strong?" But my dad said, "Oh no, we're not drinking." And next thing he pulled out a bottle. He said, "Here." My dad is, he said, "Oh no, we're good." He said, just drink it, Arthur. Have Olive drink with you and you guys have a good time." My dad said, "Oh no, we're done." And then I guess after that man warmed up, he got up, and when he walked out, that my dad said he was walking out, hold that big old thing just come out of his that tail, from our door to our by our wood stove, it just went all the way into that room, and just flapped around like that, and he jumped off of our porch, and he was already on the other street. Oh, my dad said he was going to try to chase him. My mom said, "No, Arthur, just leave him." And you know what? All you could see is little tiny hoofs.
Hmm.
My dad went out there to see if he could see his tracks. But this man, when he had feet in our house, but when he was outside, his hoofs became hoofs. It's like he transformed.
Yeah.
There was really a lot of other things, but I kind of don't remember, but I remember, all this, what I'm telling you about this man that would always come to our house, and always ask if they're drinking or if they want a bottle. And he said, he would fill up their bottles if they're empty, But my dad and them would never, they would never take anything from this man. And it wouldn't just be him, it would be other men dressed in black,
Mm-hmm.
And a nice voice, and just really, these people, the way they talk, they're just really educated,
The
way he talked. Gee. And, another time, we're all playing around, and, it was snowing outside, and my dad said, "Well, Arthur," he said, my mom to Arthur, she said, "Arthur, it's about 9 o'clock, the girls should be coming in." My dad said, "Well, I'll watch out by that window. I know where they're at the Doors house." Next thing, daddy got up and he was in that room. Him and mom was in that room, and us kids were running around, playing around, jumping around, and next thing, there was a knock at the door, and my brother, Glenn, he opened the door, and he said it was the old lady. He said, honest, his hair, like she was ratted, and her whole face was white, and her eyes were red. And she was looking at us, and she just shut that door and took off into that. Even as I talk about it, I get chills because he said, get out of here, run, you kiddo. He just took off from my dad and him's room and jumped behind him, you know? He said, Daddy, there's an old lady by that door, and she said her name was Sharon, and that was our sister's name, Sharon. And when my dad went and checked at the door, there was nobody. But he said when he looked at her, and when he looked down by her feet, she wasn't even touching the ground. After that, he seemed like he got really rebellious. My brother, he starts sniffing gas. He starts getting wild.
Yeah.
After he seen this demon force, whatever this was, when he opened that door, you know?
Yeah.
And after that, my brother began to be really bad. And he was never like that. He'd just stay home while we were out. We could go out, but we'd have to be back at a certain time. And he'd always be getting in trouble. The cops would always be bringing him home. Arthur, your boy's in the back, sniffing, sitting there, moving his head all over. So they had to send my brother away for a little while. You know, I think about a month. But he would sniff with those kicking woman boys. Just up below, you know, where we lived on Loxon Flat. Right around right up there by the graveyard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We live, you know, we used to play all over in that area, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, next thing about 10 minutes later, there was another knock on the door. And my dad said, who is it? We're all standing there, you know, peeking out that door. And, oh, you know, the room where we're at, the kids.
Mm-hmm.
She said, Sharon. And my dad peeked out the window, and it was Sharon, Angeline, and Dwayne. He said, you kids get in here. He said, Sharon, somebody, and the old lady came here. You had the same voice as you. And Glenn answered the door. And he said that woman was just not even touching the ground. That was, I know as I'm speaking of my sisters, or I don't know if we're on that, you know, team, you know what I mean? People listening to us, I know my sisters will. If they hear it, they'll know, they would remember that. But, you know, there was always a lot of bad things, you know, up there in Moxon Flat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They'd say you can't, like I said, peek out of the windows, and, you know, especially when elders were visiting, you had to be out, stand outside. You weren't able to even be in the house, you know?
Yeah.
But do you have any other stories, honey, that you were going to talk?
Oh, you told that one about Mom told us about being bad.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna try and remember it the best I could to my knowledge, okay, Rod?
All right.
Well, this story was told to us in, I think it was in the 70s. I'd say about 74, 75, where we were, we lived in, out in Blacktail then, on the other side of Hartview.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 3:00 in the afternoon. We got all our chores done, and then we were in the summertime. We had plans to, you know, bring the horses in and take them to Hart Butte, go right around, you know. We got the horses in, we saddling them up, and dang, my horse was lame, you know, so I didn't get to go, so I just took the halter off to let my horse go, and next thing my mom was hollering at us, hey, you boys, come here. She was sitting on the porch. With my dad, and they were sitting there drinking coffee. He said, you guys going to Hart Butte? Where are you guys going? You're just going to go right around Hart Butte, maybe up to Crawford's or someplace. I don't know. And she said, well, sit down. I'm going to tell you guys something. And I remember going walking up to sit down. And as soon as I sat down, she said, you're going? I said, no, my horse is lame. I'm lame. I don't know what's wrong with him. I just let him go. And anyhow, she said, you boys sit down. I'm going to tell you guys a story. So we all sat down, you know, and she was telling us about when one of her older sisters had gotten a car. Just a long time ago, roads weren't even paved, you know. And my grandpa told my auntie, asking us, just like my mom was asking us, where are you guys going and what are you going to do? When you be home? Stuff like that. And my grandpa told him not to drink. Don't drink in that car, my girl. And you be careful. You drive slow wherever you're going. You look out for others. This and that. And so I guess my auntie took off with her car. She went to Harbin. Anyway, she went and picked up her boyfriend. I don't know who he was. I don't remember the names. I don't even know which auntie it was that had gotten this car. But my mom was telling us that my grandpa sat her down and giving her a good lecture about drinking and not going any place and being home early and stuff like that. But she had out, and this is what she told my mom. As far as I can remember, my mom telling us, she said, my sister headed out. She's going towards Harbin. No, this is from where we stayed in Blacktail, not where my grandpa stayed. That's like another 2 miles up between Blacktail and Green Lake by Harbin Mountain up there around there, in between there. And she said she went to Harbin and she picked up her boyfriend. And then she said she picked up, I think it was another couple. There was two, I think there was four of them all together. Well, anyhow, they headed out and they went right to the foyer to get alcohol and drinks, you know. And I guess they were going down and they were all having fun drinking and partying, and they'd pull over, drink here, drink there. Running out of booze, so they went back to Dupuyer to get more booze. And then they're on their way home. And her boyfriend was driving all that time, my auntie's new car.
Yeah.
And he was getting drunk, so my auntie said, you better let me take over. Kind of weaving on the road. And they're coming up from on 7 Mile Lane. I don't know if you know we're at 7 Mile Lane, just between Birch Creek and in Dupuyer.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were coming home, and that it was getting later and later and later. And my auntie, she was telling her boyfriend that she couldn't drive anymore. She was too drunk. So I guess we're just going to park. But her boyfriend said, well, we just need to get home. So he started driving. And up towards that, as you're coming west from 7 Mile Lane, there's that first curve you come to at the end of 7 Mile Lane, there's a sharp curve, it curves off to the left.
Yeah.
I guess they going too fast through there and they hit that and they flipped that car.
Oh.
I guess they rolled a few times and they were sitting there and it landed on its wheels. But they're just quiet and, you know, they're all busted up pretty good, you know. Oh. And by then, I guess it was dark and they could hear. I don't know if my mom said if somebody come by there something started bothering them right away. Because one of them was dying in that wreck, and one of the passengers in the back, and they were screaming, saying that thing's coming to get me, it's gonna get me, and then I guess when it grabbed it, that I think it was that guy. One of their friends is a fellow that had passed away first in that wreck. He was saying there was something coming after him. Can't you see him? Can't you see him? He's grabbing me. And then he just died, you know. But he was all busted up and he must have been seeing things. I don't know.
Hmm.
And she said that after that happened, it was quiet and they were talking. He said, is there a car coming? Is someone going to help us? Can you guys walk? Nobody can walk or anything. They're all busted up, you know, and asking how her boyfriend's doing. She said, he's dead. He's gone. He's not breathing. I can't do anything. And then I guess they heard Now, I don't know if my mom said if they were coyotes or dogs. They must have been dogs, because I imagine dogs don't, you know. I never heard a coyote bark like a dog, but she said there were dogs barking. And I know down that way, there's no houses down that back then. There was no houses down that way. I don't know if there's any along that 7 Mile Lane now.
I don't see any there.
Anyway, they said they heard these, mom said they heard, said Auntie told them that these dogs are barking or coyotes or something, and they were like way off in the distance. And they were getting closer and closer, and they could hear it. It was getting closer and closer, and they would say something to them in Blackfeet. Oh, dang it, what'd she say? Okay. So I'm not fluent in Blackfeet, but I understand a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I can think for a while, I can almost say what they said, but you're saying a ghost is coming, or look at that, ghost is coming. Or look at that ghost. I think that's what I said. Look at that ghost. Samasamok means to look. Samasamok. I think sta'a is ghost or spirit. I don't know. Anyway, one of them said, Samasamok sta'a. And they looked, saying, look at that ghost. They didn't say what kind of, what it looked like or what it was actually, but, and then that, her boyfriend, my auntie's boyfriend and a friend, I guess he was really labored breathing, you know. And my auntie is trying to hold his hand and, you know, talk to him, and then he starts saying, look, that thing's coming after me. And, she said, my auntie looked, she said, you couldn't see anything. It was dark, but you can see a little bit, but it was dark, but she couldn't see anything coming, but she heard dogs and wind was blowing, the dogs were barking. And that guy, he started screaming. And he said, he's actually getting pulled out of that car like that.
Oh.
And my mom said, Auntie, just held on to him. And then all of a sudden, it's got quiet again like that. No dogs, no wind, no nothing. Just quiet. And the girl in the back said, what did you see? What did you see? I'm not sure, but it might have been one of my aunties, Stella, I think, or Eunice, one of them. Anyways, she said, what did you see? And they said it was, a man keeps coming. Well, what does he look like? He said, I can't see him. He's just dark in it. Is he walking or what is he doing? He said, he's just floating. He's just floating it wasn't on the ground. It was just floating. And I guess some dog could start barking. And she said, you heard wind. And she said, this time, for some reason, you could hear hail, too, like hitting that car or gravel or something. And she said, once you open the eyes like that, my mom said that it was daytime, and Auntie was there all alone, and those three people were dead in that car. Some rancher combined found her.
Oh, jeez.
I know there was more to that story, the way that spirits kept coming after them people in that car.
But wasn't there a woman murdered down there? Instead of my name, beat to death?
That was one of my aunties, too.
Yeah, that's... Your mom told me about that. She said her
sister... And that happened after.
Oh, okay.
After that wreck. I guess that after that, one of them got beat to death down there.
Yeah, one of her husband beat her to death in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did your mom was telling us? Telling me.
Oh, she was. Well, you were. Yeah, I didn't even know you then. I was gonna say, I wish you could have heard that story she told us about that wreck down there. My auntie's new car. And the next day, she said, my auntie said when that, That last one to go, that girl in the back, she said it sounded like hail hitting that car, wind, And she said when I took her, it just stopped. Everything stopped again, and she woke up, and it was daylight. Hmm. And the people were helping her out of that car. And she's telling them my friends, and they were telling them they're all gone. They're all gone in that car. But not long after that, then my aunt, one of my aunt, and it might have been the same one, I don't know, but she got beat to death by her husband there, almost to the place where that wreck was.
Jeez. Like a death spirit or something? Jeez.
Yeah. I imagine. But you know, for that for her to, then for one of my aunties to get beat to death there, and it could have been the same one, like, I don't know.
That was, what's her name? Her mom?
Eunice, that's Eunice's mom. Yeah. Stella was beat to death there.
Yeah, I was just going to remember Stella. I think your mom made some of her name was
Stella. Yeah, Auntie Stella, she was beat to death there.
So we just come one by one and took all those people. Were they okay, like, enough to survive it, too?
No, well, my auntie said they're all busted up and they couldn't walk to get help or anything.
I forgot about when my brother left me down here. I'll tell about that
story. Oh, that same stretch of road, too.
Same stretch of road. Man, that's it. Don't ever walk that road by yourself.
Yeah, don't walk 7 mile alone at night. That place is pretty scary if you've ever found yourself stuck and trapped on that road. Try to get up there to that big rock that Arlen talks about. It's a safe place on that road at night. That big rock's up near, it's closer to Birch Creek, you know, where that big 90 degree turn is at. Yeah, just get to that big rock that's right up there and sleep there. You'll be alright. But yeah, that knowledge there comes from Arlen Potts, which is going to be our next guest, and it's going to be members only episodes that he records with me. And I've asked him to do a few things for us there, talk about old war stories where those old natives used, you know, like war medicine, like the kind of things that they did. Those are always really interesting stories for me. And of course, Arlen's really traditional and he knows a lot of good stories. So yeah, stay tuned for that. Until next time.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.